Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to episode 92 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today again is my co-host, Matthew Aguilar.
What up?
And Janelle Wheeler's back with us.
Hey, guys.
And we got a lot to talk about today. Holidays are coming. We're coming to the end of this year, but we still have some big events going on both the small screen and the big screen. So we are here today because the first reactions to Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker have hit. So we got to go over those. It's looking kind of turbulent out here. So we're going to talk about all of that. We also have the finale to HBO's Watchmen that we got to pick through and discuss because a lot happened there. A lot happened during the Gaming Awards. So we have a lot to talk about in the world of gaming. And, of course, this is Comic Book Nation. So we have to talk about the new comics of the week with Mr. Matt Aguilar. So we better get on to all this because, like I said, we got a lot to do. And we're going to start out, as promised, talking about the first reactions of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. So, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker just had its premiere last night, and the first reactions kind of flooded into Twitter in the darkness of night, and a lot of people woke up to find today that we really haven't come that far since The Last Jedi.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's fair to say that the first reactions to Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker are split. Some people are saying that it's this kind of grand and epic, gratifying end to the Skywalker saga. Other people are, like, you know, saying they are outright let down by it. These are kind of Star Wars insiders and super fans who all went to the premiere, which has raised a lot of question because if that crowd is saying it, like, what's going to happen when this movie hits Friday? I don't know, but now it feels like we're seeing a slow movie car wreck in not like the bad sense, like Star Wars is going to make a bunch of money. But yeah, if you thought it got kind of hairy out here on the internet when The Last Jedi hit, I don't feel like this is going to be that much better. I think overall, the sequel trilogy is going to end up being one of the most kind of divisive and debated parts of Star Wars when this was supposed to be a healing process.
So far for me, it's a little interesting. Like I said, we can't really speak because we haven't seen it, but out of the three big ending things, Game of Thrones, Star Wars, and Avengers, I'm a little surprised that Avengers is the one that everyone seems to have loved the
most.
Wow,
good point.
Even though there was divisiveness there too.
But
not near
but even
what
coming
it was
out
for
of Endgame,
of
I don't think like, those reactions were not.
That Marvel
like this.
That had just been killing it at every movie was just one who gets the most pass.
Marvel had a very, like, they all had very big planes they needed to land.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, outside of
Marvel,
we can see the game. We could have seen the
needed.
Game of Thrones.
Marvel
thing
had a plane
coming
and
because
needed
the whole season
over
had
at an airport for a while.
Like, sure, but like Game of Thrones, we kind of saw coming because the entire season was just basically trash. Ugh, but I mean, there were a lot
so
of high
sad.
Hopes for
don't
that season.
Don't say these things like I subscribe. With like, throw out there, just I'm like on the Twitter hashtag opinion,
and everyone was expecting
they tagged him, not you.
To save Star Wars, and it's interesting.
But Marvel had like they have so much more to give us with a lot of our favorite characters, and I feel like Star Wars does not. I mean, we're just moving on past so many of these people that we fell in love with, and are. I mean. Is this correct? We're never going to see their stories again? Is it over?
I mean, it's kind of, no. Not to say you're wrong. You're not wrong. They haven't announced anything, but it's a wide open franchise these days. And there are a lot of ways, like we're getting Rise of Skywalker and there's like a Rise of Kylo Ren comic book coming out at the same time that explains, you know, how this whole thing with the Jedi Temple and the stuff we thought would be an epic scene in the movies is actually a whole story for a comic book. So that's kind of how Star Wars operates now. So it's not, it's never, there's nothing that says we won't ever see more with Rey or Finn or Poe backstory, you know, all that kind of stuff. What happens after, what happens before? I mean, it's all on the table as possibility. But yeah, I mean, the focus of the sequel trilogy will be kind of concluding with this story. Yeah.
Right.
So the main thrust of that whole storyline will be done, as well as all the theories that everybody's been floating around for three films now.
Yeah.
They'll either play out this way or they'll play out that way, and then it'll be that. And in fact, it's kind of like, it seems to be from the criticism, if you read a lot of them, that the problem with The Rise of Skywalker that most people are pointing to early on is that it's not so much a movie as a corrective measure trying to fix and tie off a bunch of stuff that Last Jedi and Force Awakens didn't completely finish. Mm. And so it's gets described. You'll hear a lot of descriptions like, it's a movie that is doing too much or at odds with itself, or it's two movies in one. It's like an epilogue to, it's a closeout to this, and then it's its own story. And so it just seems like they try to do too much kind of nostalgia fan service. Hey, this isn't like Last Jedi. Let's go back to, like, isn't this more like Force Awakens? Oh, but we also got to tell this kind of somewhat complicated story.
Yeah.
Not complicated, but convoluted, according to what people say.
And that's so surprising to me.
Yeah.
With Abrams at the helm. Like, that's so, I'm so Look, surprised by how divided
people who that is. People who loved Last Jedi are taking issue with this. And then vice versa. People who didn't like The Last Jedi are okay with this.
I've been noticing that as well. It seems like even the people that we would want to hear raving reviews from, they're more just like, it's good. They're not like, whoa, yeah, this is amazing.
Guess that's the biggest thing.
Even the best reviews aren't amazing. They're not like off on another, exciting
I get The Last Jedi
journey. Yeah.
Having an issue of like, oh yeah, you're retconning our movie essentially.
Yeah.
But the people that love The Force Awakens, I am kind of surprised that, like, you're getting what you want, kind of, I guess. I haven't seen it, so I'm just saying
I
from
can't
what people
wait
are
to
saying.
See it.
But, like, it seems odd that you get what you want, and then you're like, nah, it's still not good enough. Okay, well.
I know. Oh, God.
You should have done less
than I did. This is kind of like where Star Wars was headed for a while. I mean, everybody has this thing they think they want. Nobody's getting what they want kind of, like, thing. And now we just seem to arrive at this end point where nobody's getting what they want.
Can I make a comment on that?
That's what it feels.
Yeah, like not getting what you want. I have to stand corrected about The Mandalorian. After the latest episode, I am back in love with Baby Yoda. I am loving the episode. I'm loving the story progression. It was such an amazing episode, and I am completely wrong for getting annoyed with the show, because I'm actually like back on it for
no,
sure.
No, I mean, that's good. And I mean, I guess there's a lesson in that somewhere for everybody, which is like, yeah.
Give it time.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of my thing now. I personally went out and read all the leaks and spoilers. I mean, I've made no secret about that around the office. And I feel great because I don't have to worry about all this, you know, the mystery and holding back out, and which should have never been part of a Star Wars movie to begin with. This is not that kind of movie. We shouldn't be hinging everything on these reveals and twists, and this ain't a Shyamalan movie. So, like, I don't need a Sixth Sense twist to this. So I just went out and read the leaks because I was tired of wondering. I was tired of the theories, and I'm not going through another Last Jedi experience. I'm not going to be, like, sitting there watching this movie just getting mad at a checklist of things in my head. So I've
had
time.
That's actually a good idea.
I mean, like, I wouldn't advise it always, but in this case, I would actually advise fans to go out. If you're so anxious about it, just go read the spoilers, see what it is, take some time, take the next few days, process what it's saying. That's what I've done.
They're out there.
Yeah, they're out there.
They are.
I mean, we can now confirm after the first screenings.
More so now than.
Yeah, I mean, of course, obviously, since people have seen the film, there's spoilers, but if you saw some of the early leaks, we can confirm that a few of those that we stumbled across are definitely true for the most part, like about 80 to 85% true. Some minor details might be out of place, but the overall story points and reveals are correct. And yeah, I feel unburdened just having to read them because I had my reaction, but I've gotten to sit and think about it for a while and the overall kind of plot and arc, and does it make sense? I can give a little bit more perspective on it and think about it. Now I can just go watch the film and enjoy it for how it's made, you know. And
I might do that too.
Yeah,
me too.
Have it without burdens and just kind of enjoy it for what it is. So this is a rare case where I would just recommend that, like, take the pressure off yourself, because all this pressure to find out, you know, is Rey's parents like the answer we've all been hoping for that's going to save the universe? It's probably, like Luke said, it's not going to go the way you think, or it's going to be some kind of answer that you probably or may or may not be kind of happy with, sort of. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, we're going to be doing a lot. Obviously, this is just first reactions from a select group of people that Lucasfilm probably regrets inviting to a premiere now. Because, you know, these things are supposed to boost positive response for your movie. And we haven't gotten that. But Brandon Davis was there. And Rich is not in the booth today. Super Star Wars fan, because he was there.
Yeah.
And they'll both be back. And so later on this week, we'll probably have some commentary from either one or both of them and be able to let you know. And I think we're going to try to put together something so that opening weekend you guys will have a quick bonus episode, because we all see it like Thursday night. And I think we're going to try to get a bonus episode in to fully break down the full spoilers and discussion of Rise of Skywalker, the sequel trilogy, the entire 9-film Skywalker saga. So stay tuned for that. All right, right now we're going to move on, though, and we are going to hop on over to the gaming awards that took place. And, you know, we're not going to go through this too crazy, but there are some highlights, and we try to pull out the good stuff so you guys don't have to slog through all the crap and you can just get you the highlights. So Matt's going to give us a breakdown. I mean, he's going to do for video games right now what he does for comics and just pull us out and give us the stuff we should be buying or looking for.
Yeah, well, and the biggest thing that it would be interesting to kind of hear everybody's thoughts about it. I mean, Xbox, Microsoft did reveal their full-on Xbox S Series design. They did correct it. Series X or whatever is not the name. It's actually just Xbox going forward, and that Which is just the series.
Oh.
Yeah. So it will just be Xbox. No 360, no One anymore. It's just that.
The Xbox? We just get a The?
Yeah.
Xbox.
They're very much like...
They've been watching movie reboots.
And the good news is, because if anyone's seen the design, it is very like... It looks like a large PC.
It's like a tower,
A tower. It will go horizontally. So it will rest in any of the, because that was my biggest fear, is like my most entertainment units, mine is fine, but most cannot house something that stands like that. PS2's
too,
case, even if you did stand it vertical, half the time the disc would slide and do all kinds of crazy stuff. In this case, no, you don't have to worry about it.
Not secure.
The biggest thing, and they didn't reveal it here, but one of the biggest rumors going around is that instead of like right now, the Xbox One and the PS4 can both put a game to sleep. That way you can go watch whatever on Hulu and then come back and it automatically loads you
or
back
go
where you
to
were.
Sleep.
Evidently, the new Xbox, there's rumor out there that it can do multiple games at a time like that.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can, because right now there's just, it takes too much processing power to do that.
And, like,
That's great.
Which would be awesome if that's true. But what did you think of the design? I mean, that's an interesting design.
It's sleek, but it just seems big.
I mean, like, it's inevitable. We're going.
I don't know. It looks like the size of a tall Amazon Echo or Amazon Alexa.
Yeah, I very much got that Echo vibe.
Yeah, I mean, but it is where we're going. Like, gaming has been, you know, the bastard child of PC gaming for a while now. So it makes sense that in just more processing power and they try to close that gap, we're going to get things that look more like PCs.
I heard someone talk about this on another podcast, and it was interesting to me because, like,
you're listening
I didn't
to
think
other
about
podcasts?
It. I listen to a ton of podcasts.
How dare you?
And I always listen to Comic Book Nation.
Good.
Nudge. but, like, it was interesting that I do kind of miss the times where, like, console designs were a little bit more outlandish. It was like the Saturn or the Dreamcast or like the GameCube. I kind of liked when those, like the Switch.
You just
doing
named
that.
Like three failed dead.
I know,
but I have those.
GameCube like, was okay.
Yeah,
but
GameCube
it didn't
was
last that long.
But I have like a gaming PC. Like I
love
have
Dreamcast
a tower.
Too, but it's like I the know. Beta vision of consoles.
Best controllers. I still love those controllers.
I mean, if it weren't for those controllers, we would not have gotten.
Triggers, man. Triggers was first on
the modern day Xbox controller.
Oh God,
not
Duke.
The modern day PlayStation controller. The big bulky weird hand.
I could
not
never hold
sleek,
those
sleek
yeah.
angled
yeah. way too big
so,
for my hands.
So okay, so I might be alone in the fact that I want.
No, I'm with you on this. Okay. I agree because I have a gaming PC and I have a tower.
Jim on a leash because he'll
and
start
I want
throwing
something
out
else.
History.
But so during the Gaming Awards, there were a couple reveals. The Batman game did not make the list yet again. Yeah. That thing is just a MacGuffin that won't ever be seen.
Is this the next Arkham game? Or is this ever like really Batman?
Supposed to be the next. next Arkham game, Legacy or something.
Yeah,
something
and in the title. We've heard Court of Owls. We've heard a Justice League game was canceled, and the Superman game. Rocksteady will be, it'll be 5 years from now. It's become like the, can we say it's the Half-Life of game announcements?
Yeah. Oh, man.
So we also got to look, though, at Joker from the upcoming DLC for MK11.
Really cool.
People are a little split on his look.
They made a bunch of fixes, which
he
was nice.
Looks like a frat boy with makeup on. Great hair.
Aren't you, isn't this from the person who loves Jared Leto?
No, I'm obsessed with Joker. I am. But I'm sorry, nothing. Sindel is just giving me life. She's my favorite Mortal Kombat character of all time. Like, retro, back in the day.
So you're digging the new, because Sindel recent, right?
Yes.
The last one.
Loving her. But yeah, I think the Joker... Yeah. Oh, okay. Is that the reboot right there?
That's his model from MK11.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It's not like people are kind of split on the design.
Joker.
And it's also hard because Injustice just did him.
His hair's so good.
Not too long ago, and people really liked that version. So yeah, I don't know. The voice is on its point though.
Yeah, the voice is great, and I loved his outfit.
What people did not like, they were at least divided. What people did not like was the Fast and Furious game release trailer.
We always knew that was going to be.
Vin Diesel came out and did the whole big presentation, and boy, that's in there. I mean, he voiced himself in the game.
Of course,
it just looks that stuff looks like, I guess if they made a Driver in this day and age, that's like, what it looks like.
No, it looks like Driver from the day and age. Yeah,
but when they step out of the cars is when it looks.
This is like Driver. Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of got panned for all the hoopla built up. It got a lot of stuff, though he is voicing it, so at least it's authentic there. Oh, we also got...
But it's in canon too, right?
Yeah. It's like full on, like in the story. That's why...
it was the Enter the Matrix Fast and Furious.
I think Tyrese shows up later on. Like it's, full... Michelle Rodriguez is doing her character's voice. It's very much like they want it to be this little side chapter. But,
no, I mean, this is going to be one of the best games that... PlayStation 2 has, I think.
Oh, God. We did get the first PS5 game announced, which is pretty cool. So that comes holiday 2020. That is Godfall. Again, this gave me, what is the game that, I'm blanking on.
You can't blank live.
It was just so short.
When Killzone first got announced for, I think it was the Killzone 2 was for the launch game for PS4. I think it was PS4. And it was it's pretty. Personality yet.
I have
yet.
No idea what it's about.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely
The dialogue
got that.
Was confusing for me. And just, it looks good.
Yeah, it looks
as
good.
As it should, because it's coming out on a brand new console.
And the biggest thing about this, though, that kind of even makes me care is that Gearbox is making it. So Gearbox, developers of Borderlands series, Borderlands 3 recently came out, and that's met rave reviews. Now, of course, Gearbox is also the same publisher, because I think they developed too, but they also published that Alien, that horrid Alien Colonial Marines game that came out years ago that was panned and stuff. So, yes, they have a couple clunkers on their resume, but Borderlands and then also Battleborn. Gearbox.
Oh, you're trailer and you're like weird animal people in armor. Like, what's happening?
And what's happening with the sky? Is that a sword? Is that a tornado? Like a metal tornado? I don't know.
But it's pretty.
Oh, there's demons on the top.
Yeah, and there's like
circling.
A chimera.
I saw them. Okay.
A chimera. You're like weird animal people.
Yeah.
It makes an impression. I don't know what to think of it yet, but it is interesting.
It's just like
definitely looking forward to seeing
gods. Like what?
They're medieval. And they gave no
they're
information.
Like medieval.
Here's the trailer.
Of Egyptian God.
One of the other ones that was a surprise was Wolf Among Us 2, which the biggest thing here is that Telltale is the part of the team that was involved with the concept of the original before Telltale shut down.
That's good.
Now, it is a reboot, though. So, like, the first game... Like the way they're tackling is kind of like, I don't know if the first game matters. They're kind of redoing stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
But they're... It's the same team, and they wanted to give it. So that was a surprise.
I'm loving
that
the
no
80s vibe. Like the soundtrack was really cool, kind of like Stranger Things.
I mean, if everyone played, my biggest issue with Telltale games was always that they all felt the same after a while.
Like yes,
Batman felt the same as Game of Thrones, felt the same as Walking Dead.
Yep.
But if
that's
they can go
licensing
in,
money, dog.
Yeah, it was just
same game, new
and that's what sent them down to bankruptcy eventually because all those licenses cost money.
Yep,
and you know
we're making it back.
Yeah, and that's amazing that the first Walking Dead game. game was their only bona fide hit. Wow. Like, that's surreal. That's the only one that was profitable.
That's
Hollywood. Everything
else. Try to take something that works and stretch it out. A million good ideas and it works once.
Just a couple other quick run-throughs. They did show a new Final Fantasy VII Remake
that's
trailer.
That's what I want.
The Cloud trailer was so good. Yeah. Oh. And Barrett starts talking.
So ready to live that again.
Yes, I am so pumped.
And just have
pumped.
It be new because, you know, it fades from memory, all the details of that game.
Absolutely. I was pumped after that. And they also showed a quick clip that had chocobos running around.
Yes.
And I was stoked about that. And then we got a Gears Tactics first trailer, which is essentially Gears XCOM. It looks exactly like XCOM, just with a Gears skin.
Yeah.
And it's a prequel. So it's set before, like, all the new stuff. So for old school fans, it's actually perfect. It's just that tactical gameplay. I love it. Not everyone loves
right.
that hardcore
yeah,
XCOM.
Yeah, I've not played that.
And then finally, a new D&D trailer, Dark Alliance, will be a third-person game. It is the spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance. We don't know much else about this. There was also a Magic the Gathering MMO announced. There was also like another, they actually showed off one of the new decks coming from Magic the Gathering. So overall, it was a pretty good response
There's
to the Game
Awards.
There's
a lot of information and I forgot so much
until
we had to like rewatch for the podcast.
It was pretty good show.
A lot of information.
The first year where they pulled off a show and everyone's just talking about, well, we didn't get a Batman game or whatever, mm-hmm. but no one's saying like, oh, those were a joke, where they used to be like
right.
Snoop Dogg would present like all the crazy stuff. Like this, the biggest thing they had was like Green Day come out on stage and like, you know.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. Like none of that stuff was panned. So very interesting. So that's that.
All right. And Matt, we're not done because you still got it hyped today. Man, you have like, I didn't know you snuck in and like took over the show, but you got Power Rangers update to give us.
One.
Oh, I didn't see this.
We never have the chance to do it, so I'm going to take advantage when it happens.
He
so.
Loves Power Rangers.
So essentially,
so much.
The Power Rangers reboot, which we had heard that Hasbro was developing.
Is got it a movie reboot?
Movie reboot.
Okay.
So got a director. They already have a script being worked on. Evidently, some people have read the script and have good things to say, but the main director is going to be End of the Effing World, Jonathan Entwistle, I believe is how I'm saying that right.
I believe that's right.
He's going to be directing right now. So that's all we really know. So that's why it was just going to be a quick thing. But the biggest thing was that people who have seen the script evidently say that time travel is going to be a part of this in some way. It takes place in the 90s. So they are very much going to hit those nostalgia bits.
That's exciting.
And then hopefully the time travel thing means, you know, we can get some, because like one of the things that the 2017 reboot tried to do was modernize this group of characters and everything, but people said like you went too modern, you went too far. Hopefully the 90s we'll be able to kind of find that balance between
that's
the kitschy
really cool.
which Power Ranger fans love
and
the grounding of an actual cast, you know, because people loved the cast from the last one. It was just a lot of the stuff that surrounded it. So that's
probably when he goes back and mistakes like a person in a putty, like one of those old putty costumes as a real putty and like beats them out and then finds it. Not really. Yeah, no, it's like,
you're welcome.
I don't know how I made the mistake. Basically, Matt's telling you that he's going to have a job come 2020. So that's good. Good for you, man. I'm happy for you. All right, we're going to take a break right there. But when we come back, we got some deep diving to do into the Watchmen finale. We got new comics to talk about. And I got an update on Mr. Robot that I want to share. So stay tuned for all of that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right. You know they can still see you on the video.
I know,
right?
I know.
I'm just making sure. Just making sure.
Also, I don't think, do we actually cut?
No.
You don't cut?
No, so not on video.
I thought that was like a commercial break or something.
So, they still saw you coughing.
I'm going to leave now.
But on the audio, don't worry, on the audio, you're golden there on the
okay,
audio.
That's fine.
All right. But
shout out to the video, to the people watching.
A little behind the scenes look with Janelle Wheeler. Not quite behind the scenes, but scenes look. All right. So let's talk Watchmen. So Watchmen has come to an end. We've been tracking the show since the beginning, and, you know, quite an ending it was. They managed to pack in quite a bit of reveals in this and still give us a kind of, you know, actually entertaining, action-packed finale on top of that that had some drama. And they managed, speaking of landing planes, you know, Damian Lindelof has literally and figuratively had trouble landing these planes sometimes with different series.
Also, spoilers.
That's a lost reference. Yeah.
We are spoiling the finale.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's nothing left here.
Yeah.
Like, it's all over now. Watchmen's over. Like, if you're just waiting, like, I'm going to get to it in January. Like,
sorry, bro.
This is an event show.
Yeah, it's an event show. People are buzzing. Like, we're going to buzz. Bzz, bzz, you know?
Yeah.
But that was a lost reference for Brandon Davis about Damian Lindelof not being able to land
planes.
He's
somewhere chuckling.
Yeah. But he managed to do it this time and do it pretty, pretty darn well. So, spoilers again. One last time. Spoilers for the season finale and entire season of Watchmen, because we're going to talk about it. So, when we last left things, after that excellent God Walks Into a Bar penultimate episode with Dr. Manhattan and the whole history between him and Angela, this one is a lot more literal. It's like, we gotta, you know, solve the problem of the 7th Cavalry stealing Dr. Manhattan's powers and becoming, you know, godlike white supremacists. Angela's gotta get Dr. Manhattan back. Lori Blake's, you know, captured and kind of get out of that situation. And what we do is we start the episode, instead of getting some much-needed backstory about Ozymandias and his connection to Lady True, in a bizarre... And I love when this show knows, like, Watchmen and how weird it can get, and it just does, like, weird things. So we see Lady True's quote-unquote origin story, which is, like, a spy-slash-housekeeper in Vietnam was working for Ozymandias, broke into his, like, little vault of, of his saved materials, which are, like, his blood, semen samples, all that stuff, takes a semen sample and inseminates herself in his office so that she can, you know, create a super genius baby, which is Lady True.
Yeah.
So she's his daughter, which was a pretty prevalent fan theory we had even discussed, I think, tossed around on the show. But then we begin to get, like, what the end goal is, that the 7th Cavalry wants to steal Dr. Manhattan's powers and take them, but Lady True's kind of laughing at them because she's the one who's really the mastermind who's going to take Dr. Manhattan's powers for herself. With the goal, and the goal is the same for each group. They want to create their versions of a better world. For Lady True, that's a kind of much more benevolent kind of, in her view at least. She's a super genius scientific. If she got the power, she could set the world right. You know, the 7th Cavalry.
Like, yeah, it's just like Ozzy dropping the squid.
It's everybody. It's the same megalomaniacal thing, no matter who says it, which is why I love Lori Blake, who kind of, like, put that all into focus about, like, people who want to do this are all nuts, basically.
Yes.
So it's a showdown to make that happen. And it's kind of an intricate chess game of a showdown where, like, Angela tries to convince the 7th Cavalry to give it up. You know, that senator guy from House on Haunted Hill shows his true colors, and they're not friendly colors, mostly just white and only white. basically, the long short of it is Lady True's plan, kind of, like, she teleports them out. The senator guy vaporizes himself into a goo. Trying to get
so
Dr.
Great.
Manhattan's power.
She said verbatim, "It makes you pop like a water balloon."
Yeah.
If you try to do this.
And that's
without
exactly
a filter.
What happened. Yeah, to that guy. Lady True almost gets the power, but Dr. Manhattan manages to use that goo to get, because it flows, the blood flows, like, under Lori and Looking Glass and Ozymandias' feet. and he sends him away. But we should say, like, we also learned the origin story that Ozymandias was on this planet and how he got all.
I loved that reveal.
So. Yeah, we learned that what we've been watching is not in the same set of time that Ozymandias was on this planet years ago. Mm-hmm. And he used the bodies of those clones to spell out the words, "Save me, daughter," because Lady True had tracked him down and said, "I'm your daughter. I want all this money so I can basically become Dr. Manhattan and get his powers." And he kind of lambasted her and said, "Oh, you're not my daughter. Like, I started from nothing, and that's all you're going to start from." And so, like, when he got stuck on this planet,
he said, "I'll never call you."
He said, "I'll never call you daughter." So he spells out, "Save me, daughter," because she told him that she was going to send a probe. She knew where Dr. Manhattan really was. She saw through the Mars illusion and that he was on this Europa, this moon of Jupiter, and that she was sending a probe that would get there in 5 years. And so when Dr. Manhattan transported Ozymandias in there, it was in that 5-year window where he was stuck and he knew she was coming. So he spells out, "Save me, daughter." And so because he humbles himself that way, she sent a ship and brought him back. And to keep him in cryostasis for the years of trip, she sprayed him gold and made a statue out of him, which is a statue that had been in her kind of courtyard earlier all throughout the season, as we saw this statue of him kind of sitting in her courtyard.
Yeah.
It's revealed it was actually him, just
like it was him the whole time.
Yeah, basically like cake like a Choco bunny, like just stuck in this gold.
That's so great.
And it is great for a lot of reasons about if you know Ozymandias and his whole story. So they bring him back in the finale. So he's now in present day and just in time so that his daughter can kind of gloat and show him how she becomes Dr. Manhattan. And so he gets Dr. Manhattan sends them to Karnak. Back where you find out that all these random squids that have been falling from the sky all season are Ozymandias just had put this set up an automated system to do this, to keep scaring the world into thinking that at any moment the squid could come back.
Yeah.
And so he comes up with this plan to basically this time freeze the squids into these super hard shards and then puts them over kind of where Lady True is doing this whole transformation process, creating this insane, like, just punch a hole through everything, like people, things, like so basically crazy. Sprinkler system of deadly spikes.
Oh my God.
And yeah, and it's pretty gruesome because she looks up.
The only thing I didn't understand was they made a very big point to show Lady True in conjunction with the background of the 7th Cavalry, their church with, you know, Jesus and whatnot. And so they had that whole juxtaposition going there. And then they have one of those squids basically go through one of her hands. She pulls her hand over. And I was just like, oh, all right. I see what we're doing here. But also at the same time, I didn't really get it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends. If she rises again, it'll make sense.
Yeah, I guess.
She just got up there on the... Well, she didn't think she was getting on the cross, and I don't think she was heavily religious. So it was kind of screwed her over.
Yeah, it was just a weird, like... But it was so Ozymandias' excitement for the plan that he had come up with to outwit True. Like, just like Jeremy Irons has been phenomenal so throughout good. This entire series.
Yeah.
And he's like, "It's going to be like a Gatling gun raining down from the heavens." And I was like, yes.
Yeah. And he's like, but it's so great because Looking Glass, the thing I loved about that scene is Looking Glass is like freaking out because the first time, like, Lori is just casually, and Jean Smart has been so great on the show too.
Uh-huh.
Oh my
she
gosh.
Just favorite casually character. Like is telling him, like, yeah, you know, it's true. Like, you know, they confirmed that like years ago, this was all a manufactured attack and it wasn't real. And like that Lori knows about it and was part of it. And he's just like Looking Glass, like Tim Blake Nielsen's just like, what? You can see his mind like exploding like every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And like, he's been
suffering some serious PTSD. Yeah, PTSD because
he was involved in the first attack and he was a conspiracy theorist about real alien dimensions and he believed in all that stuff and he finds out it's all crap and he's just like, what?
He like felt bad and for the squids.
Like the fact that Lori knew, like, yeah, but the thing is that because they made this choice, and if you know the original Watchmen, like, these characters have already made this choice. Yep. Like, Ozymandias decided to kill millions of people and Lori knew about it and decided to live with a secret and never expose it. Yeah. So when they're making this plan, they're going over and Ozymandias is like, yeah, a lot of people are going to get killed, but, you know, we're going to stop them. And Lori's like, yeah, you know.
And then,
like,
lives.
And like Tim Blake Nelson's looking at her like, isn't this evil? And she's just like,
We've and, already made yeah, that. We've already yeah. crossed that.
We've
mark.
Already crossed long, that. Long run. Yeah. And
but
so,
I do
like,
love that Lori like had the moment of, you know, she wanted to save Sister Knight. Like, she had to get that call in. And
that was full circle for her because she doesn't believe in masks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But she does. She calls Angela and saves her.
Yeah.
And everything comes, and they wrap up Angela's story in a nice full circle. Her grandfather's waiting in the theater that we saw him in the very opening of the season where the Tulsa massacre happened, where his mother played the piano at the movie theater. And her kids, Dr. Manhattan, sent her kids there with him so they were safe during all of this. And she just walks in the theater and kind of talks to him and kind of, you know, does that whole thing. And they bond, and he comes to live with her, even though Dr. Manhattan ultimately is destroyed. He kind of Lady True does destroy him before Ozymandias can stop her. And the ending of the show is great because they do this thing where they do a great job of bringing back things you didn't pay attention to the first time. Mm-hmm. So, like, when Dr. Manhattan is talking to Angela from their very first meeting and the date, you know, he gives her this thing about the causality of his vision is, you know, is it the chicken or the egg? I can see the things that are happening, but am I seeing the chicken or am I seeing the egg? And, like, there's a big scene where right before the 7th Cavalry attacks them, he's making waffles, like, using his powers, and he's like, mine the eggs or watch the eggs, and the eggs come floating out of the thing, and she grabs them and smashes on the floor, and that's when she, like, you know, shakes him into saying, like, we got to do something, we got to go fight and all this stuff. But afterwards, and when it's all done, she comes back to the house and finds that there's one egg unsmashed in the thing, and it cuts back, and he had mentioned to her in, like, a way that we all forgot about that he could possibly transfer his powers to somebody.
Into something organic.
Into something organic that somebody else could then consume and get his powers. And so he left his powers basically in this one egg, which Angela then takes and eats. And he had said to her, you know, he disappears from the kitchen and then he can't find her. And she hears the kid screaming and he's out walking in the pool. And she's like, what the hell are you doing? You're freaking the kids out. And he's like, I got to walk on water. It's very important for you to see this. And she's like, what? And he's like, it's important for later. And she doesn't understand, of course. So the very last scene of the show is her going out to the pool, eating the egg, and, like, taking off her shoes and stepping out to the water. And as her foot gets to the water, that's when it just cuts the ground.
Yeah.
And that's the
end of the season. Good.
Yeah.
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 So, oh, my
so
God.
Good. The yeah. show is so good.
Which is
so
also
good.
Kind that's of, fantastic. If you see behind us, was always, which I love about that, is teased in the first poster. Everything about the season, the finale, is teased in that poster image of her standing in front of the Doomsday Clock and kind of having this blue glint on her face. Which a lot of people thought is different things, like, oh, she's looking at Dr. Manhattan and all that. But now you know, like, it might be, and it was a hint that she has the power. So that's the end of Watchmen, and that's what happens. But Janelle, I wanted to kind of ask you and Jim, since you both watched it.
Yeah.
The big question now is, does this show need a season 2? I'd say it's earned it, but the question is, does it need it?
That's a heck
because,
of a statement.
Yeah.
That's great.
This has
it
been
has
like
earned
the
it.
Perfect self-contained kind of companion piece to Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, like, some of the creative team would come back. Like, Lindelof has, you know, said, I did my thing.
No.
I pulled this off. I think I'm done with this.
No.
Like, kind of
I
that.
I hate to hear that.
At the same time, I want to see this continue.
I don't know what story they tell.
Exactly. I mean,
like, it's not that I was expecting this one, but enough time had passed and, you know, the idea seemed solid enough that I was like, all right, cool. But, like, I don't know where you go from here.
Well, I the only question I have is from the movie, one of my favorite parts visually is when Dr. Manhattan first becomes Dr. Manhattan and the sequence of him pulling himself together from nothing. Like, I love the visual aspect of, like, different parts of the inside inner workings of a body is appearing like a ghost in areas around that place. Like, could that happen again? Is that still around? Can he pull himself together from being left up in that aircraft? I don't know, or the mechanism that pulled him apart in the first place. I mean, that could be something. It could be now Angela and they both exist with these powers. It could be that True, you know, can pull herself together like he did. There's many options, but I did read the article that was written about the second season, and, you know, I think you hit it right on the head. Like, that's exactly, it deserves a second season. I want a second season, but I understand if they don't want to kind of ruin this beautiful masterpiece that they made.
Yeah. I would think, like, for my sake, I think there's a happy medium in taking the kind of anthology approach, which is kind of what this was to begin with.
What?
It tied into the original mythology, but it was very much its own kind of anthology story about Watchmen in the world of Watchmen, but in like Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the self-contained, very self-contained story, you could also continue to do that because there was a lot of world building done that we could explore more, like what happened to Night Owl, what's up in
all the Night Owl.
Like, I actually would like, kind of like it if Ozymandias was kind of the connection point, where because like now he's just. Oh, I guess no. They took him. They took him to jail.
That would be a cool sequence to see.
Yeah,
him
escape. I want to know where Night Owl is and what the hell is he doing when all this is going on around. It's just weird because you had so many of the characters in this, sans comedian because he's dead, but also and
Rorschach's so like, dead.
And Rorschach's dead. Where do you go in an anthology story outside of Night Owl that hasn't already been explored.
Well, there's also the original Minutemen. I mean, they got Hood of Justice made him a big part of this. I mean, there's still a lot of mythology to expand upon and transform and kind of do stuff with. I mean, there's any number of things you could explore just if you took the right creative hook. I mean, who knew we could ever get this?
That's
story?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one came out of nowhere.
But it only works if the person running it has the, can find that hook.
Exactly.
Right. He says, nah, I don't have
it. No, it would have to be a new creative team. Have to be a new creative team.
That's a lot to live up to.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be interested in almost just that, but otherwise I don't think I need to continue this story of Angela, Abar, and all that, because I feel like this did a really good job in wrapping that all up and putting it together. So, I mean, Watchmen is a great thing. I think it was one of my favorite TV show of 2019. And if you guys haven't checked it out, figure out a way to get in on HBO or look for some deals on whatever is getting offered over digital over the holiday season, and be sure to check that out. If you can sit down and just check, watch that over the holidays, you'll be happy for it. All right, moving right along. So we got a little bit of time left. I'm just going to do a real quick shout out. Mr. Robot, USA's Mr. Robot, is coming to an end. And this show has been one of twists, turns, and reveals itself. Some of the best and the best storytelling in modern TV. And it, man, spoilers for, I think this is the penultimate episode of Mr. Robot or the third to last. This kind of last season has basically dealt with the fallout between Elliot and his hacker group, F Society, and their rivals, the Dark Army, and its master, White Rose. And White Rose finally got exposed as being the Chinese minister and kind of has regressed into her kind of transgender and identity as a woman, White Rose. And basically, this episode was a showdown between White Rose and Elliot at the nuclear power plant where Elliot's story began, where things kind of melted down in his hometown and poisoned his father and, his best friend's father, and created these circumstances that really made them all become the people they were. And he's kind of in this room and he has to kind of stop White Rose, who then kills herself and leaves him to play a computer simulation to stop a nuclear meltdown. And he plays it and he wins, but it's a trap because he can't get out. The facility itself is still going to blow, and it blows. And then we find out we are in, one more time, spoilers for Mr. Robot. We are in an alternate universe he finds himself in. Now, Mr. Robot has never done anything like this. So he wakes up and he's in an alternate universe and everything is different. Like, he's going about his life. It's this pivotal day in the show, May 9th, 5-9, which is when his hacker group basically caused pandemonium by wiping out the world financial system in the first season. So he's back in this pivotal point and everything's different. His best friend's still alive. His dad, who we found out abused him as a little kid and made him kind of the split personality maniac he was, is his best friend in this reality.
Wow.
And he goes through this life and he can't figure out, he just keeps having these headaches and he can't figure out why all these characters that are dead are back and everything's like normal. And it kind of just ends with him coming back to his room and finding another version of himself sitting there. And like I said, this is not the show that Mr. Robot has ever been.
Whoa.
And so there's a lot of fan theories going on now. And basically, a lot of show deals in is framed in computer and hacking things like loops and execute sequences and all that. All the episode titles are like that, and the themes of each episode are like that. And so basically, the theory now is this show has been actually about a kid from an alternate reality who comes to this different reality and what we thought was his mental illness the whole time, because he has multiple personalities. He loses memories in the first season. It's all about him not really knowing who he is and being this unreliable narrator. He partners with this girl he tries to kiss. It turns out to be his sister.
Oh my God.
And the moment he kisses her, she's like, what are you doing? and he can't remember that it was his sister. So now the theory is that he was just a guy who was transported into another reality. And in this reality, because in this new reality, he doesn't have a sister and he's best friends with his dad. And throughout the show, Mr. Robot is actually the split personality of his father that he talks to, who's Christian Slater. So now the theory is he's not mentally ill. He's from another reality. And these were all just kind of manifestations of his actual reality that he was remembering, kind of conflicting with the one he's now living in.
Very so Matrix.
And that this has happened in a pattern of loops. Yeah,
mind blown.
Sam Esmail has just like mind effed everybody.
Okay, now
who follows
I
the show.
Really have to watch.
And
this.
There was no kind of big sci-fi premise like this at all until right
That's
now.
That's what's hooking me right now. And that's like, why I want to watch
this is
it.
The end of the show, last couple of episodes, and now the last episodes will deal with this about this possibly all being in a loop. And his enemy in the show has been E Corp, but in this new reality, it's just a fine, normal company called F Corp. And now the theory is that there's been an Ace Corp, a B Corp, a C Corp, a D Corp in these different realities that keep looping until we come to some kind of point, I guess, at the end of the show. So that's what just happened on Mr. Robot. My mind hurts. Jeez. So if you're on Reddit, lose some time on Reddit and help explain all this because the show that has played with the ideas that, I mean, but the show has done this all along, that reality isn't what it seems, yada, 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 and kind of pull the rug out of us several times, including like season two, where he's like living in the inner city, trying to go about this routine life and beat addiction. And then you find out halfway through, he's actually in jail the whole time. Like, and he's just been imagining this reality over.
Wow.
So he's not like, yeah. So Mr. Robot's crazy kids. And if you haven't checked it out, it's time to. That'll bring us to our last topic, Jeez. Matt. We got a very tight time constraint, but take us through the new comics of the week, as always, so that we know what to buy.
So this week is loaded.
And don't screw us, because the holidays are coming up.
This week
is
loaded.
Duck out and read some stuff.
This week is loaded, and next week is almost nothing. So it's just like they're shoving all this stuff before. First thing here, Claus and the Life and Times of Joe Christmas. This is Grant Morrison and Dan Mora's annual holiday book.
I don't know
book.
If I need Grant Morrison's take.
Here's the thing. This issue, I absolutely do. I like this series. Just fun, and it's like essentially what Santa does the other 364 days of the year. But he's like this awesome kind of hero guy, and like has all these sidekicks.
I definitely want to see this.
It's awesome. This story is a very, very touching, very like emotional, personal story, and it's done without any dialogue. And it's it's a giant sized issue. So it's a lot. It's gorgeous. I would definitely check this out if you're looking for something different. We also have Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 46. I got it in at the beginning this time.
we're up there.
We also have Angel number 8, Once in Future number 5. And then we move into DC. DC has Batman number 85, which is the end of Tom King's long run ever since Batman Rebirth. This is the end of City of Bane, and then he goes and does his little spinoff, the Batman and Catwoman book.
As long as they keep calling each other Bat and Cat, I'm down with
it. I really enjoyed this issue. It is not what I expected from
nothing in City of Bane, which I have enjoyed immensely, thanks to you, one of the best Batman stories I've read, is at all like you expect.
Right, yes.
And none of it matches the freaking covers. Like,
no, and this one is exactly the same. Yeah. I was like, oh, we have this giant conclusion, and this is like, hey, we're going to take some little side alleyways, and it's like, okay.
And I got to say, I hope DC does more like this, where you have these big kind of heady premises. Bane takes over Gotham and makes it a no man's land, but we didn't spend any time like doing any comic booky stuff in that setting. It was all focused on like Batman, Catwoman. There's a whole issue of them just on a beach.
Yeah.
Like getting close and eventually having sex a couple times and deciding they love each other.
Yeah.
Like
and this very much has that.
A lot.
Yeah.
This very much has that. Like if you've liked that from the run, you'll love this issue because it very much does a lot.
One issue is just a conversation of Alfred's last.
Oh my God. Oh my God, man.
Like, that one. A voiceover.
Me. That one hit me hard.
I love the one with Thomas Wayne's backstory, all that. So like, yeah, thank you for recommending.
In polar opposite to that, we have Batman Last Night on Earth number 3, which is like crazy over the top. Post-apocalyptic, whatever. That was also really good. I really enjoyed that.
I can't believe that's still going on.
But yeah, I mean, that it's 3. It's just 3 issues and done. But, you know, it's very much like they were kind of giant-sized and a lot. It's a gorgeous issue. If you've been interested in, like, that he holds a Joker head with him, there's a lot of Joker stuff in this issue. So he's kind of been on the sidelines for a lot of it. But this very much puts him in the forefront. We also have Doomsday Clock number 12. It's finally
Speaking
done.
Of things that are not done.
I am shocked
that this came out.
That it's out now?
That it's out before the year turns.
Yeah.
I think they got mad that the Watchmen series was wrapping up and doing so well, and they were like, but we're here too.
They missed out on all that cross, like
all of
cross promotional stuff they could have done. Nothing, because this book was so late. I've been hit and miss on this, but this is out. This would be one to, now that it's out, would be interesting to read the whole thing and then dissect it, because I kind of gave up on it midway because you could never count on it actually releasing.
Wow.
Harleen number 3. This is also a limited series and it's the last issue. This has also been really good, but very different and adult kind of Harley story. Justice League number 38. I will say Jaro has a pimp moment in this book, and I do love Jaro. Suicide Squad number 1 is Tom Taylor's relaunch of that series. I actually haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Really good. I mean, look, Tom Taylor,
yes,
has been just unstoppable.
Deceased, like all his Spider-Man stuff, Neighborhood.
This is an opportunity for him to be on a bigger in continuity book, and he totally rocked it. I loved it.
Awesome. And then we're going to move. Oh, and then Wonder Woman Dead Earth number 1 as well. That's also a DC Black Label kind of limited series. So DC has a lot of that going on. Marvel, we have 2099 Omega number 1. If you've been keeping up with the 2099 stuff, Annihilation Scourge Omega number 1. We also have Avengers. We have a ton of X books. So I'm going to just rattle these off. Excalibur number 4, Fallen Angels number 4, Marauders number 4.
Fallen Angels number 4 and 3 just come out?
Yes. New Mutants number 4 and X-Force number 4. All this week.
How are you
trying to do, like, can we fit all that into the next
episode? Yeah. How are you keeping track?
That is nuts. That is so many X books. We also have King Thor number 4. We have 2 Star Wars books. The one you brought up earlier, The Rise of Kylo Ren number 1. And then we have Empire Ascendant number 1. So a bunch of Star Wars stuff makes sense, tying in with all the Star Wars stuff going on. We also have
that little movie coming out this week.
Old Guard Force Multiplied number 1 for something not DC and Marvel. I know it could fit a lot in there, but that is comics this week.
Cool.
All right, that's comics this week, next week, and through the holidays. Seriously. Apparently,
you're good for the new year. You know.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, if you're just now getting into the show, we post new episodes every Wednesday with Janelle Wheeler and every Friday with just me and Matt here on comicbook.com. We can subscribe to our RSS feed, or you can subscribe on your favorite listening platform. We are on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those things. You can tell Google's Amazon,
tons
Alexa,
of comics, tons of places to watch Amazon, us,
Alexa
listen
devices
to us,
to fire up Comic Book Nation podcast. Or you can find us on YouTube if you want to continue the conversation with anything we talked about the show. We're always at the hashtag Comic Book Nation. Or you can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
And you can find me at Janelle Wheeler on Twitch and all the socials.
If you are loving the show, please go on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Periodically, we will read reviews from iTunes. And if we read your 5-star review, we will send you some free Comic Book Nation swag. So be sure to get those reviews in, because we definitely are going to get one more reading and t-shirt send out in before the end of the year.
Yay!
Just dropped a whole bunch into the mailbox today.
Oh, there you go. Christmas
so
gym.
Comfortable,
Santa gym,
man.
Is getting your shirts out.
Christmas gym.
Just in time for the holidays.
Santa!
That's
all
a great
right.
Name.
That'll do it for us here at Comic Book Nation. Thank you, and we hope next time we talk to you guys, you're getting ready and excited to see Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. And just try to enjoy everybody out there. And later. Peace.
Deuces.